The president came out with an executive order today making it easier for, I guess they're saying now, 5 million people to pay off college tuition debts and so on. And I thought, well, it's time that I checked in with our Department of Higher Education just to get a status report on what you folks have in terms of the amount of student debt that people are carrying and how they're getting rid of it or what kind of problems it's causing. I'm sure it's much too early for you folks to have any kind of a feel for what the president has done in terms of his executive order and some other things that are cooking in Washington. You've heard about them, I'm sure, but have you taken a first blush look at anything?
Just an initial look, and I think that probably the program's going to evolve a little bit because I think from what I've read, the U.S. Department of Education is going to have to write regulations regarding this new executive order, but it does look like the intent is to expand an income-based repayment option that the president came out with, I think, in 2010.
As I understand it, apparently the program now allows repayments up to 10% of a person's monthly income, and this kind of expands that. Is that right? You can't repay more than 10% of your monthly income now? Is that a standard of some kind?
I think that it's not a restriction that you can't pay more. It's just it puts a cap on it. If you're having trouble in the past with student loans, your typical standard repayment plan was just the amount that it would take to pay off the loan in 10 years. What this program does is look at what you're actually earning and tries to target your payment amount to be something that you can afford doing your job that you're currently in.
So is this more of a floor than a ceiling?
Well, I mean, they use the term cap, but I believe that, you know, it's your right to be able to pay the loan off earlier.
Right.
I don't know that a lot of people will, because there's also a write-off provision, a loan forgiveness provision at the end, if you've paid for 20 years or 10 years in a public service job. Whatever's remaining, if you've stayed in repayment that whole time, will be forgiven.
So if you're in some kind of a if you've stayed in a public service position for those 20 years, then whatever you haven't paid at the end of the 20 years, you don't have to pay.
20 years is for just your typical, you know, if you worked in private industry or whatever, but the public service forgiveness loan period is just 10 years,
okay.
Whatever's left after 10.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand as you understand this. At the end of a certain period of time, depending on what you're doing, if you have been making your payments throughout this time, if you still have debts after this period of time, then the federal government forgives that amount and you don't have to make any more payments.
Right. Although that forgiveness amount, I believe, is taxable.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there'll be some people that would certainly be willing to pay some taxes to
Right.
get rid of a much larger loan. Do you know if we have very many people who are still making student loan payments 20 years after they get out of college?
I think that could be the case. You know, not everybody, I think most of those people maybe didn't keep up payments all the way through the process, or, you know, because obviously we've got defaulted borrowers who've taken longer than that. There's also a lot of deferment or forbearance options in the federal loan programs. Like, perhaps you're unemployed, you could apply for a temporary forbearance, and so that also stretches that time period out.
I suppose right off the top of my head, I think of people who are in very expensive educational programs like medicine or law or something like that, who are going to incur very large student debts. Are they the ones that have the most problems in paying that off?
I wouldn't say that that's the case. I think initially that might be the case where I'm thinking particularly of medical school debt. You know, initially a resident physician, you know, is not making what they'll be making later on. I think typically, and this is just, you know, from observation, I don't have data to back me up, but typically doctors are able to pay off their loans without a lot of trouble, but in those initial years before they've really started to reach their income potential, I think they have difficulty because they do have, proportionately, a really high amount of debt when they graduate.
I know this is probably a difficult question to answer, and it might not have an answer, but do you know if we have very many folks in Missouri who are still paying student loans from their college education when their own kids go to college? Does it stretch out that long for some people?
I would say that's the case. And, we think of students as being right out of high school, traditional students, but there are more and more of the college population that are what we call non-traditional students, which it's starting to become a little bit of a misnomer, but there's just a lot of people who go back to college, especially with the recession. Someone who needs to be retrained to go back out into the workforce after losing a job. I think there are probably a lot of families who have multi-generational student loans.
But this will at least say to mom and dad, no matter when they went back to college, that at a certain terminal point, if you haven't finished paying everything off, then it's dropped.
Right.
Okay. Do you have some raw figures on how much student loan debt there is among Missourians now?
We usually rely on a report that's issued every year by the College Access and Success Institute. In Missouri, the average amount of debt for someone who graduated, I think, in 2012 is just over $23,000. That's with a four-year degree, which is, I think, significantly lower than the national average, which is like $29,400, so almost $30,000 nationally. I think we're doing better here in Missouri. We've got kind of lower-cost institutions.
Even with the tuition freezes and things like that, and the addition and tuition increases that we've seen in recent years, this is still well below the national average then.
It is, yeah. Well, in the past 5 years in Missouri, our year-to-year increase, from, I think, 2008 to present, is lower in terms of the percentage of increase at your public 4 years than in anywhere else in the country. I think we've kept tuition the lowest, in terms of an incremental year-over-year increase.
Well, that's pretty good news. And what is our default rate in Missouri at this point?
Our default rate here is for a three-year period. So I'm just sort of defining what I'm telling you, but for a group of students who entered repayment and then you look at them 3 years later to see who's defaulted, it's 13.1%, which is also lower than the national average, which is 14.7%. So,
do we already, it seems to me, in all the years I've covered the legislature, there have been proposals, and I think some of them have even passed, that provide for forgivable student loans if someone stays in a profession or stays in the state of Missouri a certain amount of time. Is my memory correct on that? Do we have some forgivable programs like that?
I think there may be some. There are none that we administer here at the Department of Higher Education. There was one proposed this year, so you may be thinking of that too. There was a proposal to expand our Bright Flight scholarship program to add a component for forgivable loans for students who stayed employed in Missouri after graduation for a certain number of years. But that did not make it through this legislative session.
I seem to remember proposals that people have made if medical students serve in underserved areas of rural Missouri, a certain percentage of their debt will be forgiven, or teachers who want to teach in the inner city. The longer they're there, the more their student debt gets forgiven. But I don't recall that those things have actually ever passed.
I do think there are some loan forgiveness programs that are administered here in Missouri, but they're not ones that I'm familiar with.
Right. Okay. Anything else that we need to talk about from your standpoint or from the department's standpoint is where we are in Missouri's student loan situation right now, or where, better yet, where the students or former students are with their student loans? Are we managing things pretty well?
Well, I think whenever you compare us to the rest of the country, we are. I mean, obviously, we prefer that no one defaulted and, you know, everyone had a really manageable debt load, but when they graduate. And I think for the most part, you know, if that's true. So I feel pretty good about our state. We do a lot in terms of trying to promote wise, smart borrowing choices. We have a lot of financial literacy materials, and we have a default prevention grant that we offer to Missouri schools to sort of set up campus-based programs that target their individual needs of their institution, and help students know, you know, what to, how much to borrow, what to expect when they graduate, just become more financially literate. And we're doing a lot of things to try to keep students in school until they graduate, because completion is the number one best indicator that someone's going to be able to pay off their student loan. It's the students who don't make it through and don't graduate that tend to have the most problems paying back their loan, because they can't recognize or realize the benefit of the education.
So would I be accurate in saying the department recognizes some possible benefits from the president's action today, but you're going to have to wait and see how it settles out before you really know which direction everything's going to go?
Yes. I mean, anything that's going to help students repay their loans and also make them more aware of the options that are already out there for a more palatable payment amount, I mean, that's, I think, can only be good. I just, the details of how the U.S. Department of Education is going to administer this program are the things that are still up in the air.
That just leads me to one more question. I'm sorry. How does the department tell students about these alternatives that you just mentioned that are out there to help them pay their loans? How do you tell them this or remind them of these things on a regular basis?
Well, we do a lot of train-the-trainer kind of activities where we try to make sure that the counselors that actually work with the students one-on-one on campuses and even at high schools are aware of these options. That's our most, I think, broad-reaching kind of impact. But we have a lot of publications that explain all the programs that we distribute to schools across the state. And, you know, just in really whatever venue we can, we go out and do financial aid nights around the state. We just try to use every opportunity and every handle we have to try to get this information out.